This year, Dell Technologies' Back to School event is delivering impressive tech with an inspiring purpose. Learn how Dell is helping ComputerAid, whose work is helping equip solar community hubs with tech and AI literacy skills to empower remote, displaced, or disconnected communities around the world. Help Dell make a difference and shop AI-ready PCs powered by Snapdragon X Series processors at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
This is The Rich Eisen Show. The Rich Eisen Show.
This is fun. Paris Bronze, hosted by Mike Del Tufo.
I'd be great.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Do you know how to score fencing?
Yes, it's a strike to the chest.
With what?
Whatever they call it.
With the fence?
With the thing.
Today's guests: CBS Sports NFL analyst Jason McCourty, ESPN staff writer Dan Murphy, author TJ Newman, and now it's Rich Eisen.
All right, hour number one of day number one of the first full week of August is on the air. What a way to say hi to the Rich Eisen Show, live on the Roku channel. And if you're listening on the Rich Eisen Show Terrestrial Radio Network, Sirius XM, Odyssey, TuneIn, our podcast, we say hello to everybody who listens to us all 3 hours every day. It's your right to listen to us whenever you want. We appreciate you giving us a follow on our feed. For those who are listening, I am wearing a fantastic shirt that looks just like the Roku color purple because I'm a team player. There may be an I in Rich and Eisen, but there isn't one in Prada.
Wow.
Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Why are you looking that way, Chris?
As he started talking, in my head, I said he's going to mention his shirt.
Okay. Listen, you've been hanging out with me too much. We've been hanging out together too long.
It's too long. Too long.
I telegraphed my punches with you. Hey, listen, everybody's talking about gold, silver, bronze. I'm talking purple, and it's great.
Green.
And I'm feeling good about myself. Jason McCourty's first up, my good friend, who will be in the booth for CBS this fall. And he will be joining us to just set the training camp standard, everything that's going on in the National Football League world. Also, on this program, Dan Murphy will be on the show. He is an ESPN investigative reporter. He and Pete Famel wrote a double byline piece that hit ESPN's news wires yesterday. They somehow got a copy of a draft of what the NCAA is going to tell Michigan is coming their way in terms of potential punishments for last year's revealing of a sign stealing or illegal scouting scheme that I've turned the page on. I don't know about anybody else.
Illegal scouting scheme.
This is what he's going to be joining us because I want information. I need to know what's going on.
You want answers.
I do. And I can handle the truth.
Of course.
Trust me, I can.
I don't know about
that. No, I can. I can handle the truth. I can absolutely handle the truth. There's a trophy in the case. I don't care.
It's a good point. For how long?
They can take it. You know that, right?
Whatever. You know, for how long? Listen, we'll have this conversation in hour two. And then TJ Newman is back on the program. Our TJ, the TJs in studio will double. TJ Jefferson is here. And TJ Newman, one of the most prolific writers and best-selling authors on planet Earth, will be back here in studio. She's already been here once before. Worst case scenario, TJ Newman will be here. Worst case scenario is about anybody who's sitting behind me when I recline my chair. So that's in hour number three.
Sorry, 2A.
On this program. So, good to see you, Mike Del Tufo. How are you?
Rich, your shirt matches the Argentina-Germany.
Oh, fantastic.
Right, the floor where they're playing
How many consecutive days is this for you? This has got to be a record.
You know what
like
it is?
Seven?
You know what it is? Six? Everybody, Fox isn't doing anything while during the Olympics. So he has off for the Olympics. That's what it is.
No, until Thursday, Friday, I'm gone.
Well, so what are you doing Thursday, Friday?
Can't tell you. Secret mission.
Oh, my God. Tom Brady's rehearsing.
Tom Brady rehearsal.
You guys are killing me.
Tom Brady's rehearsing, guys.
He's done rehearsing. He's got a preseason game.
You think he is? Well, actually, he's in Paris right now.
Yeah, he's got a preseason game coming up.
I think he was taking selfies with Alona Mayer,
yes.
I believe, right?
Yeah. Well, there he was watching Simone Biles.
Fantastic. Yeah. So, at any rate, that's what's going on in our world. I've told you this multiple times. I'm going to keep saying it. You're going to hear it over and over and over again. That's my heads up to everybody. The number one storyline entering the National Football League and the number one season-long storyline arc, start to finish, number one is, will the Chiefs three-peat? Can the Chiefs three-peat? How is it looking for their three-peat chances? So on and so forth. We have not seen, since the 2005 National Football League season, a team enter a regular season fray with a chance to be the first ever three-peat champion in the history of the National Football League. The Patriots made it as far as the divisional playoff round before getting eliminated. That's the bar that is set for the Kansas City Chiefs. Will they leap over it? And this past weekend, they received a major push towards a three-peat. Major piece of news dropped to help push the Chiefs over a three-peat threshold potentially. And that is, Patrick Mahomes was voted number four on the top NFL 100, top 100 list of players in the NFL as voted on by his peers. It's not like they acquired anybody. It's not like somebody else lost somebody. It's fuel for the Mahomes fire. And it's not just him being ranked fourth after being ranked one the year before. The number one player, as voted on by the peers, is Tyreek Hill. Now, let's not discuss how deserving he is for the moment. Let's not discuss how terrific he is. Let's not discuss how on a Hall of Fame path he is on.
Am I reading this right?
But Patrick Mahomes went from first overall to fourth overall. He was number one after winning the Super Bowl, and then went to four after going back-to-back in the Super Bowl. And the guy who's number one is the guy who, after leaving the Chiefs, Mahomes and the Chiefs went back-to-back without. Which, as you know, is something they are particularly prideful about, that they lost Tyreek Hill, and it was supposed to be crippling. And they not only won the Super Bowl right after losing Hill, but they won the one after that too. Even after their offense was faltering throughout much of the regular season.
Yeah.
All the way up until Christmas Day. And then a switch got flipped and they didn't lose the rest of the way. Now, Tyreek Hill was ecstatic about this. You saw the moment he learned and he got the trophy. Then he called, I think he called his mom, right? And it was awesome, and he's terrific. He's great. You know, it's not whether he's deserving of the title. It's that Mahomes is named fourth overall, or revealed to be fourth overall, on the first day of August, or the second day of August to be exact, which is, let's do the math right, almost a half year of being in all of our minds and discussed in all of sports media as the unquestionable best player of his generation.
Without question.
On a path.
Not even close.
To actually catch and run down Tom Brady at some point if he keeps up this pace. 100% universally known as the best of the best. The guy you want to start a franchise with. If you're starting one in 2024, that's the guy. And as soon as I saw this, I was on the dais of hosting the jacket dinner. I saw this and I tweeted it out to basically say, no way. Because the first thing I thought of at the jacket dinner on the dais was the soundbite that we heard from Mahomes after the whole Kermit gate went down, where a fan of the Raiders brought a Kermit the Frog doll dressed like Mahomes to training camp. And unfortunately for the Raiders, it wound up in the hands of a rookie who did exactly what the fan was hoping he would do, which was play into it and make fun of Mahomes. This is what Mahomes had to say after this.
Yeah, I mean, it's still early in the year. Kind of stuff like that happens. It'll get handled when it gets handled.
It'll get handled when it gets handled.
Put that on a t-shirt.
And I thought to myself,
it's handled when it gets handled.
Boy, did the peers of the National Football League do Mahomes a favor. I even popped out an Instagram from the dais where I wrote, you can't help but think the players who voted on this just did the Chiefs a massive favor. Eric Stone Street responded almost immediately saying, name names. Well, it's the players of the NFL. And in case you think maybe I'm off as to whether the Chiefs will use this. See who liked it? Look at the first like right there.
Killer Trav.
Killer Trav. I also, just to throw it out there, put the music, you know, I attached a song to it. It was Taylor Swift of Look What You Made Me Do.
That's pandering.
It's not pandering.
That is,
it's not pandering.
Come on.
Kind of. I did that to start.
Pandering.
But it's kind of like, look what you made me do.
Rich,
it's actually appropriate.
In the world,
listen to the lyrics.
In the world of professional wrestling, they call that a cheap pop right there.
Well,
cheap
I'll tell you what.
It's RC Cola. It's
look
cheap pop,
what you made me do.
Like, good afternoon, El Segundo.
I was one, now I'm four. And I won a second consecutive Super Bowl without the guy who's won. Now that I've ginned it up, let me tell you why, if you pull back the layers, you know, it shouldn't be used as fuel. The voting starts in November. NFL Films and the crew that puts this show together wants to get as many votes as possible, so they do it when all the players are gathered. The voting starts in November and closes in April. So most of the votes that they get for this award is done before the playoffs. And last November, when polls opened, and if you first put this in front of the guys of the NFL to say vote, and what they do is they vote on the top 20.
Right, it's the 20
list. And then from it, they then amass the 100 list of the names that are on there.
It's like MVP. You get points for...
So if... You're like a doer. Like, I'm going to forget. Like, I better just do this now because if I throw it in my locker, I'll never do it. Okay? So you take a look at Tyreek Hill's November last year.
Yeah, I'm pulling up the game log.
Okay. November 19th, a buck 46, 10 catches and a touchdown against the Raiders, against the Jets. 9 catches, 102 and a touchdown. Against the Commanders to kick off December, 157 and 2 touchdowns. The week after that, on the Monday night against Tennessee, he got hip drop tackled and wasn't the same the rest of the year. Mahomes was in the middle of a drought of not scoring a single touchdown offensively after halftime. And then they lost on Christmas Day, and we all know the Chiefs looked less than and vulnerable.
Yeah, he only had 27 and 14 picks last year.
When most of these votes were compiled. Now, January, February, March, and April, the reason why I believe the voting's open all the way to April is when players reconvene for off-season workout programs middle of April. I think they're just given one last shot. Hey, do us a favor and vote on this. You hadn't voted on it yet.
Right.
So when I put my top 10 together last week in my power rankings, Mahomes was unquestioned number one because I saw what happened.
Yeah.
You know, I saw what happened when most everything that matters in the NFL goes down. But I don't think that sort of nuance will land in Kansas City very much.
It should. You made perfect sense right now.
Look what you made me do. Okay. And I cannot wait. I mean, for real, for the Kansas City Chiefs season to start and see it all go down. Ravens and Bengals. Ravens, LJ Lamar Jackson was second overall on this list. Well, he was the MVP. And the Bengals, Falcons, Chargers, Saints, Niners, Raiders, every single time they go out there, they're going to see him. And Mahomes will just use this. You know it. I know it. The American people know it. And so will the Chiefs. Once was one, won a Super Bowl, then won another, and he's now four. And the guy who they won both without when nobody thought they could is now one. Okay.
Yeah, sure. Whatever.
That like happened.
The Bobby drop, Mike. Yeah,
he'll get handled when it gets handled.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Great, man. Great new drop.
You know what I mean? Like, come on. What are we doing?
It'll get handled when it gets handled. And I don't think he came up with that before he stepped to the mic. I think that just popped out.
Yeah, seems like he just said it.
And that was about a Muppet doll. This is a vote from his peers.
This is already... Oh, the season is going to be so awesome.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh,
I can't
my
wait.
Gosh. Can't wait. Can't
not
wait.
The first time he's heard the Kermit reference, though, right?
Well, no, I know that, definitely but not. Definitely
no,
not.
Of course not.
I mean, he knows what he sounds like.
Right, and he also knows it's a rookie. It wound up in the hands of a rookie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But again, nuance doesn't matter when you're using it to fuel your fire.
True that.
Right? Didn't Jordan create things that were actually fiction?
Poor LeBradford.
Exactly.
It up.
Right.
Absolutely.
So
made
that,
it up.
That's all I'm saying. Yeah. It doesn't have to be factual. All it has to be is factual for a split second in the mind's eye for everyone to take it in. What's that? A lie will travel around the world before the truth puts their pants on or something like
that?
Yeah,
before the truth wakes up.
Right. So. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. Jason McCourty will join us next. Let's talk about this with him. And so much more when we come back right here on this first Monday of August edition 2024 of The Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate, a pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need, plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, everybody, back here on the program. Anybody tweeting about my shirt? I'm feeling good, dude.
What happened this weekend?
Hall of Fame. Then I spent yesterday doing something I can't say what I was doing yet.
Okay.
That will be revealed shortly. So there's that. And I'm just feeling good. You know, I got home late last night because travel home was just a total nightmare. And as a matter of fact, it's chronicled in this new book called Worst Case Scenario. T.J. Newman.
Not the words you want to hear on an airplane.
Well, because Mr. Seat 2A, in being rerouted, add a 6 to the right of the 2. 26A. Okay?
At least you got a window.
So, no, Mr. You Never Travel Coach, all the way home.
Well, I mean, look. Jordan,
all the way home.
Jordan didn't win a championship all every year, Rich.
The way home.
He had one or two failures.
And look at me. I'm in a great mood.
Welcome to the party, pal.
You know what I did not do?
What's that?
Thought of you. Couldn't recline my seat.
Oh, you see?
You see, Rich.
Felt better about yourself.
Good guy.
I kind of, you know what I did?
Tapped it a little bit.
Tap. And then an hour or two, another tap.
Yeah.
Wow. Rich, so it was fully reclined. So I snuck it back.
It's very subtle.
How'd you get boxed out of, like, up front? On the rerouted.
Dude, what do you mean on the rerouted? The whole country is having issues flying around right now.
I mean, it's terrible right now.
I mean,
you didn't drop the, but do you know who I am? Because that works.
Yeah. It works for me all the time. Yeah. You're right.
Just let me fly the
plane. I do it all the time. Usually works. I don't know why I didn't do that yesterday.
Well, you went to feel like what it was to sit with the common folk for once yesterday.
Yeah, but I survived.
What is that?
Yeah. Worst case scenario.
Barely.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. He will be part of a three-man booth on CBS, the NFL on CBS this fall. Love this guy. Love working with him. I hope to get to continue to work with him. Formerly of the Breakfast Table, now sitting here on the Rich Eisen Show, Super Bowl champion and a good friend, Jason McCourty. How are you, Jason?
I'm doing well. I'm just listening to your travel experience.
Yes, sir.
As you're saying that, I got 18 weeks, so hopefully I don't get rerouted or anything. And my seat that CBS books, it keeps me right where I need
to
be.
CBS Travel will handle it for you, Jason. I was, you know, I was mostly without a net yesterday, but I did have some people who I could help and lean on and whatever. But it's all good. It's all good. I am here. And you will be in the booth this season with Andrew Catalan and TK Barber with AJ Ross on the sideline for CBS. But we all know who your first three-man booth was with, right, Jason? Correct? Right?
Hey, no one can take away the memories in Germany that we had. Me, you, and our guy Dan Orlowski. It was an absolute blast. So who knows? Maybe we'll get to do it again in the future.
That was, and it was Chiefs and Dolphins last year. And interestingly enough, that was the conversation I led this show with, Jason, was the NFL Top 100 on NFL Network, with Tyreek Hill being 1 and Mahomes 4. Do you agree with that ordering of events, Jason?
I mean, as soon as you see a list and you see Mahomes is at 4, it kind of just taints the list. Mahomes, I think, should be number 1. That doesn't mean Tyreek Hill isn't deserving to be all the way up there in the top. If you want to put him at 2, put him at 2. What I love when this list comes out is I just love all the controversy that surrounds it. Jalen Johnson took a shot at Aaron Rodgers. He called a stray because he was 92 on the list and he didn't play. And through my experiences in the league, the NFL Top 100 was always a mixed bunch of how guys felt, because they'd come around, you'd have the sheets where you had to put your 20 players on it. And I remember one year, Jacksonville, the people came in there like, Jacksonville, they did an awesome job. They filled out every sheet they were on. That year, Jacksonville had about 8 guys in the top 100. So there's always some conversations that always surrounds it. But, I mean, Tyreek Hill has been unbelievable since getting in Miami. But with Patrick Mahomes, I mean, back-to-back Super Bowls, you cannot have that guy as the number one player.
But, again, what we were discussing at the top, because, you know, Jason, you know me, you know what I like to stand for here, is to add a little nuance to it as well. The voting takes place mostly during the playing season, though, right? Before the playoffs, correct?
Yep.
And last year, Tyreek, right up until December, was red hot. with the exception of that game against the Chiefs when he we had the ball ripped away from him. Mm-hmm. I think it was by Snead and then. Or McDuffie. At any rate, long story short, is it that led to the eventual go-ahead or game-winning score. He was on fire, and Mahomes was not. Does that really matter? Is there a nuanced thought by voters in their heads about the current, or do you look at the whole scope of everything where you would think Mahomes would be one, right?
I mean, without a doubt, there is a nuance to it because during the regular season, we talked about the Chiefs' offense. You remember the December game where they're playing against the Las Vegas Raiders, and they give up two touchdowns on offense. I think it was a pick six and a forced fumble that got picked up and a touchdown. So you got to put yourself, I guess, in the position of those guys. If that's the time that they're coming into your locker room and you're watching the Chiefs, you may not disrespect the Chiefs, but you're like, hey, you know, realistically, this season, Mahomes isn't having his best season. But at the end of the day, I think what we found out is you just don't go against that guy. And I think that's one of those things that they redid the list at the end of the season. You talk about it with the NBA all the time, too, is an MVP will come out during the regular season and someone catches fire and takes off in the playoffs and they're hoisting the trophy at the end of the NBA champions. And you're like, well, maybe the same thing was the MVP this year with Lamar Jackson. We saw the season that Patrick Mahomes ended up finishing with, but that didn't take away from Lamar. So I think it's one of those tough things, but the list comes out now. And for everybody looking at a list that includes football players and you're saying the top 100 of them, and Patrick Mahomes isn't as number one. If you got to put an asterisk and say when the voting was, it just takes away from the list.
Yeah, I know that. And again, you know, not much nuance or gray area when somebody can use something to fuel their fire, right, Jason? And you've been around some greats in your 13 years of playing. Do you got a good story of being around somebody where you couldn't believe a teammate of yours, or even if it's you, utilize something that seemed off or weird or maybe not factual to fuel their fire? You got a story like that from anybody?
I feel like that was Julian Edelman every single week. I feel like when we were playing with him, and he was the type of guy that at the end of practice, you bring it up in the huddle, especially on that team. Brady may speak, Matthew Slater may speak, my brother Devin McCourty would speak. But whenever Jules got in the front and he was getting ready to say something, it was just like everybody was all ears because you didn't know what direction this thing was going to go in. He was the one right after Bill's talking, and Bill would hype up whatever team we were playing. They could have two wins on the season. He's talking about how good of a football team. And then Jules would come up right after and be like, all right, this is a trap game, boys. And you're just like, well, Bill just said they're good. Now you're saying we're in a trap game. We're playing against a poor team. Jules was that guy that no matter what, he'd be going against a practice squad guy, and he'd be in a pushing and a shoving match because the practice squad guys had talked some trash to him on something that happened. So he was a guy that no matter what, he found something to motivate him. He was probably still pissed off from playing football with the golden flashes of being a quarterback to now being a receiver of what people said coming out from the draft. So he was a fun guy to compete against every single day because you didn't know what type of mood he was going to be in.
Whatever makes you great, right, Jason? You know, whatever.
No doubt about it.
You know, without
no doubt about it.
Jason McCourty of CBS here on the Rich Eisen Show. So, you know, obviously CBS is mostly, predominantly on the AFC side of the ball. What are your thoughts on the Chiefs entering this three-peat campaign and potentially being better? What do you think about that idea here?
And it's crazy, as you say, potentially being better because defense, they lost some guys, specifically Legarius Sneed in that secondary that I think somebody's going to have to step up and take over because what he did on the defensive side of the ball, shutting receivers down last year, was unbelievable. But when you flip it over and you look at the offense, and we're in that era now in training camp where we're always seeing the clips that come out. Xavier Worthy is running down the field and it's a 50-yard bomb. Then Hollywood Brown is running down the field and it's another bomb from Mahomes as he's rolling out to his left. So you watch what they were able to do last year. And now coming back, where now you've equipped Patrick Mahomes with more weapons and more speed to get down the field. And a guy like Travis Kelce, who's been obviously the best tight end in the NFL for however long now, now you've just created more space on the offensive side of the ball for him to be able to work as he's getting older in his career. So I look at the Chiefs, and they're the team to beat in the AFC. You can talk about Lamar Jackson, you can talk about him adding Derrick Henry, you can talk about Joe Burrow being healthy and all these different guys in AFC, which is going to be fun to watch. But when you're the king, you're the king. And that's Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs this upcoming season because they proved to us last year that having less on offense when it came down to it in the playoffs, going on the road in Baltimore, they were able to win that game on the play of Mahomes and what he was able to do. Mecole Hardman caught the touchdown pass to win the Super Bowl. I don't think anybody was thinking that that was going to happen as we watched him fall apart against the Raiders on Christmas Day, and they still found a way to come up victorious.
That's why he's the number one player in the NFL, right, Jason?
You said it.
Yeah, I think he walks it, you know what I mean? So moving on, the NFC, what want you handicap that one for me here as we're about a month out? Jason, what do you think?
I'm so excited to see the Houston Texans on the AFC side. I wanted to get that in because that's my first game, Houston and Indy.
The NFC side,
all we're talking about is the Dallas Cowboys. And obviously with everything we're going on with Jerry Jones, and we're talking about Dak Prescott not being paid, CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, that is taken away, I feel like, from some of the other teams like the Green Bay Packers and the Detroit Lions, of teams that are coming off fantastic years. And the Lions is a team that I want to see, as they've been in a ball this morning in the Giants practice, as that's going on not far from me at their stadium. But the Detroit Lions, you think about what they were able to do last year, and that was coming in with all the pressure and everybody talking about how good of a team they were going to be with all the additions they had. And Dan Campbell, now this team finally had the culture that he wanted, and they lived up to the expectations. And I remember last year, Dan Campbell said after they lost that game was, it's so hard to get back and there's no guarantee that you're going to get an opportunity to do so. But I look at this team and what they're made up of. And as you know, I'm watching Receiver on Netflix, and Amon-Ra St. Brown, his attitude and the way he attacks the games and just his work ethic, I think that's the character of that entire team. And he's a guy that they show on there where he doesn't get selected to the Pro Bowl. And he said he probably wasn't as mad as when he got drafted as late as he did, but he was really pissed off. And I feel like that's the way I would describe the entire Detroit Lions team, is they're always pissed off. So even with the success they had last year and Jared Goff continuing to play at an extremely high level, I think they still approach this season pissed off, and they just continue to get better and better. I don't think they're a team that's going to fall by the wayside because they had success last year and they didn't know how to handle it. I think they're still hungry, and I think they're a team in the NFC who I would say is my favorite right now to possibly come out.
Okay. That's Jason, that has been a widely held belief by most everybody we've had on in the last week plus. Is that the lie? Like, yeah. Daniel Jeremiah, you know, our buddy said, you know, when I asked him last year, give me the NFC team that will go further this year than they did last year. He said the Lions. And he got upset with me because, you know, that forced him to reveal a Super Bowl pick at the end of July. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, don't make me do this. But I mean, a lot of people are high on the Lions, hugely so right now.
Yeah, and they deserve it, especially with the additions they made on the defensive side of the ball, because that's where they were lacking some. And they brought in a guy like Terrion Arnold in the secondary to help them. They brought in my guy, Carlton Davis from Tampa Bay, a guy who plays a lot of man-to-man, to help them on that defensive side of the ball and hopefully take them to that next level where they're finishing the game to get to the Super Bowl.
Did you hear Quinyon Mitchell, the rookie out of Toledo in Philadelphia, apparently has told both Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown that their routes were in all that? Basically, did you hear that? He said that?
I saw that. I saw the guys are welcoming the trash talk coming from the young cornerback. And playing that position, you got to love that, because that is a position on the football field that you have to have the ultimate confidence, because no matter what, especially for him, you're talking about A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. These are two of the best receivers in the NFL, and you can argue they're a top duo in the league alongside Miami and Cincinnati's duo. So you're getting a chance to compete against these guys every single day. If he can go out there and confidently shut those guys down in practice, I mean, when you're going into the game, it's going to be like a cakewalk for him of seeing those two guys in one-on-ones and 7-on-7 and throughout practice. But you got to have that belief. I remember talking to Aeneas Williams when I was probably in my second or third year in the league. I can't remember. I was at a Super Bowl in Indianapolis. It was 2010. Uh-huh. And he came up to me and he was asking me about my approach when I'm playing corner. He said, you're in press technique. You get up to the line of scrimmage. What's going through your mind? Are you thinking, man, I hope this guy doesn't beat me on a 9 route, on a go ball? Or are you thinking, man, it's going to be hell for him to try to catch any type of pass on me? And that, to me, is the difference when you're playing that position of the guys that are ultimately extremely good and get into that greats and possibly Hall of Fame fashion of where guys you have that are just good players, and they may be consistent, may play at a decent level, but those guys that walk up to that line of scrimmage with that mindset, is this going to be hell for you to beat me, or the guys that I think get to that elite level.
Talking about the Eagles rookie caused me to come up with a sports talk radio question for you, Jason McCourty. Which NFC East team that got one and done in last year's playoffs, Eagles, Cowboys, which one do you think will go further this year?
I'm going with the Eagles. I think for the Philadelphia Eagles, they fell apart last season. There was so much going on that unless you were on the inside, you had no idea of what you could exactly put your thumb on and say, this is the reason this team fell apart. But I look, go back to a year before that when they had Shane Steichen as their offensive coordinator, they had John Gannon as their defensive coordinator, and Sirianni was the guy just leading them all. But you had two really good football coaches, which we really can see now as we watch Arizona compete last year and then what Shane Steichen was able to do with Gardner Minshew when Anthony Richardson goes down. Well, this year they brought in Vic Fangio to coach the defense and they brought in Kellen Moore to coach the offense. So I think this is getting back to the Philadelphia we saw 2 years ago of a team that now Sirianni maybe is a little bit removed and he's allowing his coaches to kind of set the tone and lead this pack. And especially I think on the offensive side of the ball, because Jalen Hurts didn't play his best football last year coming off that big contract he signed in the offseason. And we all talk about his work ethic and who he is as a person and his character and just how cool Jalen Hurts is. I think you give him a guy like Kellen Moore that he can probably communicate with on a daily basis. They're going to be on the same page. Kellen Moore, a guy who's done it. He was with the Chargers last year with Justin Herbert, but was with Dak Prescott as Dak was top in the league and all the categories that you can come up with, even when the Cowboys let him go. This is a guy that was in contention for a head coach a few years ago. And I think he's going to look at this opportunity going to this Eagles team who offensively they fell a little bit behind last year. If he can turn this thing around, we may be talking about Kellen Moore as a potential head coaching candidate this next season.
All right, last one for you, Jason McCourty. Just going full circle, I had my fun with you talking about how you're going to be in a three-man booth with CBS this fall, but you were in a three-man booth with me and Dan Orlovsky for the first game in Frankfurt last year between the Chiefs and the Dolphins. A week later is where I'd like to finish up with you, when Orlovsky tapped out and went back to the warm embrace of the worldwide leader in sports, and you and I were there for the Patriots-Colts game. And I think we were there. Well, I know we were there, but I think we witnessed the true end of the Mac Jones era. Two horrible interceptions. Belichick turns to Bailey Zappi, who hadn't thrown a pass in a game in over a month. At the end of the game, a fake spike interception ended it. But I also remember before the game, we're standing out there on the turf and running around the perimeter of the stadium, doing just getting ready, just getting some juices flowing, was Gerard Mayo. And I let the two of you guys talk because, you know, obviously there was a lot of hot talk that this might be Bill's last game, that Bob Kraft might bounce Bill if they lost the game, and it would be Mayo's gig as an interim. Like, that was the conversation for real that was happening in Germany at the time. And I'm just wondering, now that Mayo does have the job, and it did wind up being Belichick's final year there, how do you think he's equipped to bring along Drake May in a way that Belichick and the staff around were not for Mac Jones, Jason? Because that's a huge conversation in New England right now. What do you think?
I think the key is going to be consistency. And I actually was just at their training camp this weekend on Saturday. And the one thing that everybody's buzzing about there, players and coaches alike, is the positive energy that's just in the building right now of how Gerard Mayo is leading everybody. When things come up, we saw Matthew Judon, he was out there at practice. He wasn't practicing. That became a big storyline. And since then, we haven't heard anything. Judon's back at practice. Mayo's back at practice. And they're talking about in a way of, hey, you know what? We're moving on. Something came up. We handled it as a team in-house. And now we're moving forward. And I think for Gerard Mayo, when you talk about Drake May and even Joe Milton on that, you have two rookie quarterbacks. I think part of what Gerard Mayo and Elliott Wolf did was you brought a guy like Jacoby Brissett in. And I think for him, he's a guy from a leadership standpoint, is he can set the tone for the room. I think that's a part of when you're coaching, especially at that head coaching spot, you have to equip your team with the right coordinators on both sides of the ball to be leaders. But you got to have leaders in those rooms at those positions so guys can learn from. When I first came into the league as a rookie cornerback, it was Chris Hope and Cortland Finnegan that were teaching me not only the defense, but how to be a pro. I think for Drake May, you're going to get a guy like Jacoby Brissett that's been in so many different scenarios that's going to help you learn how to be a pro. And that's what he's doing. He's following Jacoby and doing all the things that Jacoby's doing. When he's watching film, when he's getting in the tubs, those types of things to be able to pick his brain and learn from him. And the other part is putting that coordinator, Alex Van Pelt, a guy that was in Cleveland with Jacoby Brissett, was there last year when they went through quarterback after quarterback after quarterback before Joe Flacco got there. And he's a guy who's coached quarterbacks in this league for so long and has had a lot of success. When you have somebody like that in his ear, he can continue to get better. Because you mentioned Mac Jones. Mac Jones, rookie year, he's terrific. Doing a gritty in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, no.
And now
he was great.
Yeah, exactly. And Josh McDaniels is gone, and next thing you know, everything falls to the wayside.
Yeah. And so you think, because again, you were there, you know, the hair was on fire in the Boston media about how poor May looked just 1 week ago as you and I are talking right now. And there's no questions, you think, about the way that Mayo and everybody can bring it along. And I appreciate you bringing up Joe Milton, but if Milton plays over May, there's a major problem. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. I don't see that happening. I think. The thing is, too, when Joe Milton's in there and you're watching practice, Joe Milton's going with the threes, Drake May's going with the twos. Practices are scripted in a certain way.
Sure.
So I think sometimes when we watch training camp and we see a guy throw an interception, well, he could be coached right now to say, you know what, hey, we want you to take those chances in those moments to see how far you can push it as we're getting ready for these games. I think Jerod Mayo has said it all along. Like, they brought Jacoby in because he's a guy that they feel like can play right now. So, of course, when Drake May is your third overall pick, when he gets there, we all want to see him in the game and we want to see success right away. But it's in his best benefit where if he's not ready to play right now, you just need to see steady improvement and him picking up the system and getting it. But that's why a guy like Jacoby's there. So I wouldn't read too much into, oh, Drake May had a bad practice. There's times where you're going to go out there as a quarterback and you're still learning. We may implement something new today that you're trying to get the hang of that maybe in the next few days it picks up a little bit better. But you want to see quarterbacks in practice pushing the ball downfield. Like, I don't want to see you in practice and you're just checking the ball down and we walk away and we're like, we see all the numbers that the beat reporters do a great job. And it's just like, well, Drake May was 18 of 19 today for 27 yards. It's just like, we're not going to get anywhere as an offense with that. So take those opportunities to try to get better and push the ball and see what you can and can't do.
Jason, thanks for the time. Look forward to seeing you in the booth. You, Jason McCourty, Tiki Barber, and Andrew Catalon. Please tell me, does Catalon have a twin?
He doesn't. Oh. He's lacking in that. In that department.
We could have had everybody in the booth have a twin. Are you and Tiki the first twin tandem ever to call games together in the history of the NFL? I mean, because I don't think Fouts didn't have a twin and Dennis Miller didn't have a twin. You know, I'm just trying to go through three-man booths, you know. So this is a first, I think, for sure.
I think so, too. So it's really cool for me. Grew up watching Tiki. Now I'm in the booth.
How about that? Listen, Jason, thanks for the time. Texans-Colts, a great first game. I can't wait to hear you on the call for that. You're awesome. I've seen it firsthand. Three-man booths, two-man booths, what have you. Let's stay in touch throughout the season, please.
Will do.
You got
Appreciate
it.
You,
Jason McCourty right here on the Rich Eisen Show. There you have it. Do you think that they did that on purpose? Well, Tiki's a twin and let's get McCourty in the booth with him. You think that was on purpose?
Andrew Catalon has a twin.
I think that's an appropriate question.
Appropriate question. How many play-by-play guys are twins? Like have a twin?
I don't think there are any, and CBS has both, and they put them in the booth together.
Yeah. Wow.
So I guess, you know, one week Devin and Rondé will do the game. Only Catalon can tell the difference.
That's right.
Right? That's my highly knowledgeable takeaway from that conversation. All right, we'll take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Dan Murphy, who broke the story of what the NCAA is thinking about Michigan these days in hour two. Let's talk about Sleep Number, people. We all know in the NFL there's no margin for error. A single mistake can change the outcome of a game. We all know that. And proven quality sleep, yeah.
believe it or not, can boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall performance. You know that probably in your real life. The same thing goes in the National Football League, which is why Sleep Number is, in fact, the sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League. Partnering since 2018, 8 out of 10 players have a Sleep Number smart bed. You should too. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70, just 10 numbers apart, but it is the world of difference because being able to adjust your bed's firmness after working out for recovery, that is game changing. So right now, during Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, you can save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed plus special financing for a limited time only at a Sleep Number store, or you can go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League. See store for details. Hey everybody, this just in, it's summertime. It's time to go and do all those summer things, like going to a baseball game during the summer. I'm about to do exactly that, and I know exactly what to do, and you should too. You should go look forward to making new memories this year by going to a ball game using Game Time, the authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to the first pitch, so you can wait to buy your tickets with killer last-minute deals. The all-in prices feature, you get to see how much everything is before you purchase. Views from your seat, you know exactly where you're getting your seat, and the view of the field from it. Their lowest price guarantee, of course, that's Game Time. Takes the guesswork completely out of buying MLB tickets. Download the Game Time app. Create an account and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account. Redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
I think Patrick Mahomes is going to lead you onto the field next year.
It's going to be weird getting into a huddle without Alex Smith too.
Because you did not obviously play in the last game of the year, right?
No, I did not.
Okay, so that was where Mahomes was out there.
Yeah.
What are your feelings now that Alex Smith has been unofficially traded away, to use your phraseology here?
It's awkward. It's awkward. I honestly don't know how to really accept it. I mean, my entire career, you can't say Travis Kelce without Alex Smith. I mean, he's been my quarterback. He's been the guy that's arguably I owe a lot of my success to him, you know? So it's going to be awkward going into a huddle, like I said, with anybody but Alex, but I know Pat is ready for the opportunity.
Sure.
He's taking a lot of mental reps and a lot of notes from Alex and how this thing should be ran. Alex ran it to an absolute T this past season. And, you know, obviously everyone's excited to see what he can do.
We had Chris Harris of the Broncos on game day morning in the playoffs. And he said when he was looking at film of Mahomes, and he played a couple of series against him.
Yeah.
He says this kid's got some serious ability. The Broncos said that.
Yeah.
Have you seen anything of that note yet?
Without a doubt. I mean, what he does in practice is it's fun to watch him in practice because kind of he's on the scout team, kind of just being a backyard quarterback, throwing it all every way imaginable you can think of, sidearm, underhand, putting the ball anywhere on the field. So it was definitely fun watching him in that regard. And when he played against the Broncos, I mean, he had a lot of footballs where he put it right on the money.
Right.
And in crucial times and crucial moments. So, I mean, it's like I said, it's going to be exciting to see where he can go with it because the expectation is definitely high.
Smash cut to them going to the Hall of Fame together.
Wow.
I love that soundbite. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Miguel in the great state of Oregon is here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Miguel? You there, Miguel?
Miguel.
All right.
Unmute your phone.
Oh, my gosh. I feel for people. Put him back on hold there.
He's old.
You know what? Here's where we'll go on this one. Brock Purdy's going to get paid, guys. Remember when I asked Mike Florio, remember that time? Where I asked Mike Florio last month, who's going to be the first $60 million a year quarterback? Oh. He said Dak. And I thought, well, some other guys might sign before Dak.
The way this is going.
Right? Or Dak's not going to get to 60. right? That even with Lawrence at 55, there's still steps between 55 and 60, and that's maybe where Dak will slot. And I also thought maybe it's Stroud. Silly me. We're never going to get to Stroud.
Stroud's getting 70, baby.
You know what I mean? Like, we'll never get to Stroud before somebody hits 60. And it could be Purdy. And it sure looks like Florio was spot on with Dak, who might hit 60 before this month is out. Because...
Well, Ian said maybe 65.
Well, I don't know. It depends on if he's going to be a full free agent next year or not. And Brock Purdy, he's far from being able to hit this thing right now. So Purdy was asked in a conversation with Jonathan Jones of CBS about the contract.
Guys talk about it within the locker room and stuff, and you know, so we all end up hearing about it. But for me, it's that's so far down the road, you know, with my situation, and for me, it's got to be, I got to be present right now, right here at camp. I got to be better and grow right now so that I can be the best I can be for this team this year. And obviously we have a goal at hand and going all the way and winning and finishing it. So that's where my mindset's at, to be caught up in the money and the stat, like all that kind of stuff down the road. I'd be wrong if that's where my mindset was at. And so it's not.
Yeah, there's nothing that could be done contractually with him this season. 0.0. Next year will be his fourth and final year of his contract because there's no fifth year option because he was, by the way, as far from a first-round pick as anybody who's drafted can be. Last pick of the 2022 draft. And so that's an appropriate way to look at it. He's making less than $1 million this year. 900 and change. Florio actually wrote today about how he's supplementing his salary with marketing dollars.
And I know that he can't officially get a new contract till after this season.
Correct.
What if he just doesn't show up and holds out right now? Why can't he break that?
Because that's you can't get a new deal until you're done with 3 years in the NFL.
Why? Why is that the rule?
It's been collectively bargained. That's the rule.
He should be the one to break this. All these other guys are getting money, and Brock Purdy is so much better than them.
He can't. It's just that simple. And so let's just say he breaks it, which he can't do. Then why wouldn't Stroud go ahead and ask for it right now? Look at the unicorn 1 year he did.
He should do it.
It's just, but there's, Chris, it's, but it makes
sense. I understand.
There's a collectively bargained contract.
But you can't do something until you can. So why can't these guys just try? Like, Caleb Williams asked for all kinds of absurd things. I know he didn't get them, but he at least asked for them.
Well, then tell your union to next time there's a collective bargaining agreement, don't agree to that. It's just that simple.
But this is absurd.
Because then owners could basically do whatever they want to do that's been collectively bargained.
Just run down the list. Like, who's better, Brock Purdy or Trevor Lawrence?
No,
like,
obviously, if you want to go in that conversation, that's better than the one that the road you've gone down, because it's impossible for him to break it. Like, it would just be a waste of his time. But also, I think this is the most appropriate way to go about it, is that you can't sign anything. You go into the season saying, I'm going to do the best that I can do by not even thinking about it, and knowing that the best that I can do puts me in the best position when I come out of it to go to the Yorks and say, here's the bag, you need to fill it up.
Yep.
And then put it on them. I don't think they'll let him play out his deal at all.
He's going to set the market after.
Yes,
Dak.
Well,
Dak will set the market again.
And again, that's another reason why the Cowboys should set the market themselves Dak, and it's probably why Dak is pushing back, saying, I could just wait to next March and let Purdy reset it. And that's why you don't wait to sign your guys.
Can't wait.
That's why you don't wait to sign your guys.
This is
not your guy.
This is a game of cat and mouse that just...
It is, but I personally think this is an appropriate way for Purdy to approach it. Hour two with Dan Murphy talking Michigan football coming up.
I just mean that he's got all the leverage.
Well, he's got leverage next year when he's allowed to actually hold a hammer, right? But then there's also the franchise tag that the Niners can place on him, too. Which will be much less than $60 million. So there's that. I mean, if we really want to play it out, but they are also able to pay everyone else to have a Super Bowl winning team around him. And they have to plan for that. There's no question there's a plan in a desk drawer of John Lynch's with Purdy's number placed on that cap in 2025 of what they think it will be. And it's a guessing game from his agent to go above that number. But going into the season, it's just like, I can't do anything about it. The collective bargaining agreement prevents me from wielding any hammer here. So why don't I just go into the season with, you know, my quadzillas and he's ripped and he's going to go in there. And apparently he's much more vocal than ever before. And I can't wait to see that. And hopefully they get Ayuk in the fold for him. So he has every weapon possible. Go ahead and knock the door down. Win the Super Bowl and go to the Yorks and say, I'll take 60 million marbles, please. That's an Animal House reference. Hour two coming up.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Tucker Carlson, what is it that you think that people gravitate towards?
I'm not self-aware. I refuse to be self-aware. I don't even look in mirrors at all, which you can probably tell from my appearance. I don't have a crazy high IQ, or I really don't have that many skills. I would say my main skill is I believe my instincts. I don't hesitate to follow my instincts, ever. The extent that I have, I've gotten in trouble.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.